Okay, let's discuss famous Rashis on Parashas Toldos, Be'ezras Hashem. In the first pasuk, there's a repetition. Eilu Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Holidas Yitzchak. Rashi stops on this repetition, and he says that the Leitzani Hador, the scoffers, were saying that Yitzchak, he was Nisabra from Avimelech. Sarah was Nisabra from Avimelech. That the father of Yitzchak was Avimelech. So many years, they didn't have a son, Avram and Sarah. Suddenly Sarah is taken for one night to Avimelech, and now, suddenly she's pregnant. It must be that Yitzchak is the son of Avimelech. So what did Hashem do? Tzar Klaster Panav Shal Yitzchak. He fashioned the form of Yitzchak's face to be like Avram. So that's the repetition. That everyone knows Avraham Olidus Yitzchak. The Rav Zatzal has a famous comment here. He says, clearly Sarah's giving birth was miraculous. And for the average person, obviously, people knew Avram was a tzaddik and Avimelech wasn't. So, you know, with whom would Hashem have done such a miracle? Would a miracle have happened? Clearly with Avraham. So, it's unlikely that they really thought that Avimelech was the father. Also, the word, the Lashon Leit Sanim, means a scoffer. If they were claiming that really Yitzchak was a mamzer, then they're not scoffers, they're Rishayim. So what exactly? So because of those two questions, the Rav gave a different pshat in this Rashi, not the literal pshat. He said that they knew that Yitzchak was biologically the son of Avraham Avinu. But they felt as follows. Avraham was a revolutionary figure. He started a revolution called monotheism. Now he's an old man. He's going to die soon. So the people were saying, Yitzchak, Avraham's son Yitzchak, he's going to be normal. He'll be one of us. He's going to be, in essence, a ben Avimelech, a regular person. So what did Hashem do? Tzar Klaster Panav. He had Yitzchak live his life just like Avraham Avinu, focusing on the same Yesodos. And then when you saw Yitzchak and you saw how he lived his life, the first thing you say is, ah, that's a Ben Avraham. He's just like Avraham Avinu. We see this in the Parsha. You know, Yitzchak, it's interesting in the Chumash, Yitzchak, the Torah describes very little about what Yitzchak himself does. Avram is three parshios, Yaakov is three or four parshios. Yitzchak is one parsha, Parshas Toldos. And within this parsha, many of the things, Yitzchak is not the major player. For example, the brachos with Yaakov and Esav. The major player there was Rivka. She was pulling the strings. What's the primary thing the Torah tells us that Yitzchak does on his own? He digs wells. Which wells? He digs the wells that Avraham had dug, and he named them the same names that Avraham had given them. What's the message? So Rav Soloveitchik said, we see the message of Yitzchak's life is Mesorah, maintaining the traditions of our forefathers. Yitzchak's life was to continue the revolution of Avraham Avinu. His job wasn't to do new things, blaze a new path. Avram dug the wells. What did the wells represent? The wells are where Avram spread Hashem's name. People would drink. You would say, say a bracha. Thank God for what he's given you. The plishtim filled up the wells. When you fill up a well and you cover the dirt, what happens? It's as if the well never existed. That's exactly it. The plishtim were saying, Avram, once he's dead, the revolution's gone. It's as if he was never here. This monotheism on mumbo jumbo was finished. What does Yitzchak do? He redigs the wells with exactly the same names. The message being, if I'm here, Avraham Avinu is still here. Oh, it's a very nice shot that the Rav says about Yitzchak's life in general and about this Rashi here in the Parsha. This fits also, we discussed elsewhere, that Yitzchak represents Torah Shebaal Peh. and trusting in one's Rebbe. By the Akedas Yitzchak, Avraham heard the tziv from Hashem. And Yitzchak heard the tziv from Avraham Avinu. Rav Hirsch talks about this in Parshas Vayera, and it's based on the Chassam Sofer and his tshuvas. Avraham was like Torah Shebechsav, the Chassam Sofer writes, and Yitzchak was like Torah Shebaal Peh. Yitzchak had full trust in his Rebbe. He was willing to give up his life because of what his Rebbe told him. So Yitzchak represents Torah Shebaal Peh, and it fits perfectly that Yitzchak represents the idea of the Masorah. Okay. In Pasuk Kaf, the Torah refers to Rivka as Bas Besuah Arami, Mipadan Aram, Achos Ravon Harami. Rivka, the daughter of Besuel, from Padan Aram, the sister of Lavan. Rashi there says that even though she was Bas Besuel, the daughter of Arusha, and the sister of Lavan, Arusha, and she came from Padan Aram, a horrible place, still, Olam Debi Masayim, she didn't learn from their behavior. Rivka survived the horrible environment she grew up in and became a complete total tzaddikus. Oh. A parallel to this we find with Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim were two of the Shvatim. What makes them unique? They were born and raised in Mitzrayim, in the worst possible country one can imagine. And yet, despite that, they survived and became two of the 12 Shvatim. On Friday night, we give a bracha to our children. Yisim chelkim ke Ephraim b'chim Menashe, like Ephraim and Menashe. So I saw some of the Mefarshim say, why do we choose Ephraim and Menashe? Because the bracha is the bracha of Mesorah. And we're giving a bracha to our children that no matter what, you should remain strong, wonderful, Ovdei Hashem. We don't want our kids to have nisyonos. We don't want our kids to live in horrible environments. But if they end up in a challenging place, they should survive no matter what. That's the bracha we give to the boys. And to the girls, what's the bracha? Sarifka Rachel Voleya. An exact parallel. The four Imahos were all born and raised in horrible environments. Their parents were Rishayim. So it's a very nice parallel. That choosing Menashe and Ephraim for the boys and choosing Sara, Rivka, Rachel for the girls is an exact parallel to the bracha of the Masorah, that our kids should survive in the Masorah no matter what happens in their lives. Okay. Pasuk Kaf Beis, Vayirotzu Abanim Bekirba. And the children were running back and forth, or the article translates crushed within her, like from the pushing back and forth. What does this mean? So Rashi says, what was the crushing? That when they go by a Beis Medrash, like Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov would try to get out. When they go by a house of Avodah Zarah, Esav would try to get out. Couldn't understand it. So what did she do? She vatelech lidros es Hashem. She went to ask Hashem. What does that mean? Rashi says, l'beis midrash el Shem Ve'Ever. She went to the leading rabbanim to ask them what's going on. When someone's facing a challenge in his life, ask advice. Go to your rabbinic mentor who has a closer connection with Hashem and try to figure out what's happening in your life. A person should always look for guidance from the leading rabbanim. Now there's a question about the Vayirotzu Bekirba. Well, number one, you know, when you're in the mother's womb, Chazal tell us in Maseches Nida, that the Malach teaches you Kol Torah Kula. So why was Yaakov trying to get out? He had the best Rebbe in the world. Well, so the answer some Sfarim say is, yeah, B'lchut is Chavrusa. If your Chavrusa is Esav, you got to get out of there. It's the worst of the worst. And you see here, you have to have a good Chavrusa. If the Rebbe is so-so, but you have a good Chavrusa for all of Seder, you're going to do okay. But if your chavrusa never shows up and he's not around and this, it's hard to survive, even if the Rebbe's wonderful. So that's one idea people say. Oh. Rav Shechter says over, L'chorah, the Pashup shot is, though, that Esav was running away because the fighting, because from the very beginning, Esav hates Yaakov. From the very beginning, the non-Jews know that we're different. And because we're different, you know, that leads them in general, overall, over the centuries, to want to be against the Jews. And that's the message of Rashi, that the struggle between Yaakov and Esav goes all the way back to the beginning. Rav Shechter explains that it's the idea that we're different. We live different, we talk different, we dress different, we die differently. Everything's different. We treat our dead differently. And this is what bothers the non-Jewish world. And that's hinted at in this Rashi here at the beginning of the Parsha. Okay. Let's continue. Pasuk Chavzayin says that Yaakov was an ish tam yoshev ohali. He sat in the tents. What tents? Rashi says, ohalo shel shem, ohalo shel ever. He learned in the yeshivas of shem ve'ever. That's what Yaakov did as a young man. Well, a young man until for many years, actually. He was learning in the yeshivas of shem ve'ever. Okay. At the end of the parak, the pasuk says that Esav wanted the nezid adashim, and Yaakov made a deal with him. He said, "I'll give you nezid adashim in exchange for the bechora, for the right to act as the firstborn." And Esav agrees. Then the pasuk says, the end of the parak, "Vayochal, vayesht, vayokam, vayelech, vayives, Esav es bechora." Very uncommon. Five verbs in a row with no nouns and no subjects. He ate, he drank, he got up, he went, he despised the birthright. Many years ago, I heard a Musar Shmuz from the Mashkiach at the time of Or HaChaim in Queens. And he said, the message of this pasuk is that Esav is all action and no thought. That's Esav. All action and no thought. The essence of being careful as a Jew is thinking about your life. If you read Mesilas Yesharim, the parak of Zahirus, the Pashup Shat message of the parak is think. Think about your life. Think about what you're doing. Think about your decisions. Many people get caught up and just sort of go through life like on a conveyor belt, moving from one place to the other, not really thinking each stop along the way what they're doing and why they're doing it and what their role should be and everything. Our job is to think. Esav is the quintessential Rasha. And the Torah describes he's all action and no thought. Do, 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 do. Nothing. No stopping to think, no nouns, no direct objects, nothing. He did. There's a message for all of us. We have to think about what we're doing. Oh, this fits with another idea that the Bali Musar say on an earlier Rashi in Pasuk Kaf Hei. Esav was born Kulo Kaderes Seir Vayikra Shmo Esav. He was, all of them was hairy, Mele Seir, and he was called Esav. Why, Rashi says? He was Nasiv and he was done. Asui. Esav from the word Asui. It's a very nice pshat. Esav, Ayin, Sin, Vav, from the language of Asui, he was made already. He was done. Esav was born much more fully ready to go than the average baby. So what's the pshat? The pshat is if you're done, there's no need to grow, there's no need to work on yourself. That's Esav. I'm done, I'm good the way I am, no need to think, no need to look for new areas of growth. Whatever I am, I am. Whatever I do, and that's it. That's Esav. He's Asui. He's all action and he's no thought. Oh. Okay. Let's continue. Perakavov Pasuk Beis. Alteret Mitzrayim. Hashem tells Yitzchak, you can't leave, you can't go to Mitzrayim. Avram went to Mitzrayim when there was Rachel. You can't go. Why can't you go? Rashi says, because you're a Ola Tamima, you're a Karban. Vein Chutzgarz Kanai. You can't go into Chutzgarz. Oh. The Mefarshim explained that every Karban, every all of Kachim, all Kachim has a place. A carbon ola can't be taken out of the Beis HaMikdash. A carbon shlamim can't be taken out of the walls of the old city of Yerushalayim. And there's a psul yotze. You become pasul if you leave. If you leave your spot. So the spot for Yitzchak, the makom of Yitzchak as a carbon was all of Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't allowed to leave. The Mefarshim asked that the psul yotze is only after the shechita. It's only after the shechita. And Yitzchak wasn't Nishchad on the Akedah. So the Rebbe of Shechter Shlita explains that we see that Chazal view it that when Avram took the Ola instead, the Isle instead, as in place of Yitzchak, and Avram Shechter the Isle, it's as if that Shlita was Chal on Yitzchak. Al Pidina was Chal on Yitzchak, and that's why the Gemara says in Yuma that the Afrosh of Yitzchak is next to the Mizbeach. Yitzchak wasn't killed, but Avram's kavanos were so pure when he took the aisle that it's as if mamish Yitzchak was nishchat and the offer is there and Yitzchak has a din of an ola and there's a psul yotze on Yitzchak. Very, very powerful idea. Okay. Pasuk Hey, the Torah says that Avraham listened to Hashem's voice, Koli. Vayishmor mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai busarosai. Avram listened to all the mitzvos. This is one of the sources Chazal have, that the avos kept the mitzvos. Mishmarti refers to gzeros, harchakos, dinim derabanan, Rashi says. Mitzvosai refers to mitzvos that I would have understood. Even had they not been commanded, they would have made sense to command, like, don't kill, don't steal. Chukosai is chukim. Mitzvos that defy rational thinking. And Torosai, Rashi says, is double language, plural. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaalpeh. So the Avos kept everything. That's what the Medrash says. It's a famous question. So how exactly did they keep everything? They didn't have the Torah yet. How'd they keep the Torah? They didn't have the Torah yet, exactly. What's the pshat? So there are different approaches. So some of the Mefarshim say as follows. Chazal say that Hashem looked into the Torah to create the world. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. Now, if you're a good architect, if you see a building, and you see the wires and the construction and all the corners and everything in the building, a good architect could do what? He could write the plans upon which the building was made. So the Avos looked at the world and their understanding of the world and their understanding of Ruchnius was so great that they, through looking at the world, could see and figure out what all the mitzvos were. And that might be one shot in how the Avos kept the mitzvos based on the idea of Histachel Be'araisa Ubara Alma. Rabbi Twersky, or Meir Twersky Shlita, likes to talk about that medrash has a lot of importance because sometimes a person, there are certain mitzvos, says, oh, this is too hard, it doesn't fit with my life. Rav Twersky says, well, look, you were made out of the Torah. By definition, it has to fit. By definition, it fits. If the person was made out of the Torah is the blueprint, the Torah is the computer program, then by definition, our bodies and the mitzvos fit with our physical lives. And if we feel like they don't fit, then we have to make an adjustment. And so there's something skewed in our life. It's not the Torah, it's us. It's a very deep idea. Since we know The Torah is the blueprint for creation. Therefore, by definition, the mitzvahs have to, so to speak, fit in our lives. And if they don't fit, we have to make an adjustment in our lives and not chas v'shalom make an adjustment in the Torah. This is happening nowadays, unfortunately. It's a problem that many people, if there's a mitzvah which seems not to fit modern sensibilities, so instead of saying the modern sensibilities are wrong, we say, nah, adjust the mitzvah, change the mitzvah. Rachmana litzlan. It's a terrible, terrible problem. Okay. Next, the end of Perek Vav, Pasuk Lamed Daled, it says that Esav got married at the age of 40. Oh. Why? Like his father Yitzchak did. He copies his father. He wants to show he has kibud av v'aim. Well, this of course is a joke, as Rashi points out. He's pretending to be pure. Just like a chazir has split hooves. Look, I have split hooves, I'm pure. But really he's totally, totally tameh and treif. So too is Esav. And we see that in the next pasuk. Who did Esav marry? He married those that are what? Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In other words, Esav didn't follow Yitzchak's footsteps at all. He did Avodah Zarah. What did Esav do till he was 40? Rav Shechta says he wasn't keeping mitzvahs. He was immoral. He was grabbing women here and there, etc. So outwardly, superficially, Esav tried to copy his father, but really, nah, nothing at all. Totally, not like Yitzchak in any way. It's a total fake out. Esav's kibud av v'aim was a total fake out. And there was nothing real or inherent about it at all. Oh. Chazal tells us that Esav's head ended up in the Maaros HaMachpela. And can that leave for a different time? Okay. Let's continue. Yitzchak asks Esav to go bring him matamim, to bring him delicacies, and he says, "Tsudu litzai min hefker, flo min hagezel." Part of the instructions, pasuk Rashi, pasuk Dalet, pasuk Gimel, is that Jadav can be from hefker. Don't steal, chas v'shalom. Don't steal. Oh. Pasuk Hey Rashi says, Letzud Said Lahavi. He adds the word Lahavi. What's the message? That Esav said, if I don't find it from hunting, I am going to steal it. Mamish, right away. Right away. Esav literally ignored his father's instructions immediately, and right away was willing to go steal if need be. Okay. Next, Perakov Zion Pasakov Aleph. Yaakov comes in, and Yitzchak is suspicious. Maybe the person in front of him is Yaakov, but not Esav. Kishanav Yamushcha. He says, "Please come close. Please, no, please." And Rashi quotes that Yitzchak said to himself, "That's not the way Esav talks." Esav says, "Yakum, get up, Avi." Where is that? That's in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Yakum Abi, get up. He doesn't say no. So saying no was a giveaway that it wasn't Esav, it was Yaakov. Furthermore, in Pasuk Kaf, Yitzchak says, Yaakov, Yitzchak says, how did it come so, how did you get it so fast? And the answer was, Kikra Hashem Akechu Lefanai. Hashem, help me. Again, Yitzchak says over there, wait a second, that's not the way Esav talks, mentioning Hashem's name. So these were the giveaways, saying Hashem's name and saying no, as opposed to Esav, who did not say no. Oh. So Rav Shechta likes to say over, there's an interesting question. Esav does use the word no. Back in Rishon, when Esav comes in Pasuk Lamed, Perakov Hey, Pasuk Lamed,
Haliteni na min hadom hadom hazeh. Please give me some of, pour me some of this red, or some of the lentils. So there's a question. There he does say na, which means l'chora means please. So if we say that Esav normally does not say na, how come here he does say na? That's a good question. Oh. Some say the word na there means now. So you know the word na also means please. Also means raw. So Rav Shechta says over that Esav said, I'll take it even though it's raw, na. And adam, lentils, when you cook them, they start out very red. As you cook them longer, they become a duller shade of red. They lose their redness. So maybe that's what Esav meant. Halutaini, no, I'll take it, even though it's not ready, I'll take it raw. Ha-adom, the very red stuff, the very red, it's a nice shot. The very red adashim, I'll take them now, even though they're still raw. So again, that's a good question. The question is, if we see in Rashi, in Perek of Zion, Pasuk, sorry, if we see in Rashi in Perek Kaf Zion Pasuk Kaf Beis that Esav Dafka does not say no, that's part of where Esav wasn't. How come he says no here earlier? So one shot is that no here doesn't mean please; it means raw. There are other Pratim as well. Look in the Mefarshim. Okay. Then Yitzchak gives the brachos. To Yaakov and to Esau. Okay. Now, there's a famous question that's discussed. What exactly was Yitzchak's plan? Yitzchak's plan was to give Esav the real brachos, the Birkas Avram,
to become the next in the generation of the leader of the Jewish people. So the Ramban Taka says that Yitzchak meant to give Esav the Birkas Avram. And that's one approach. You have to understand the Ramban. How exactly could we understand that Yitzchak really thought Esav was such a tzaddik? That requires explanation. But there's another approach, and this approach is by the Malbim. The Malbim says that Yitzchak knew that Yaakov was the big tzaddik. Yitzchak knew Yaakov was going to be the leader of Am Yisrael. However, as follows: if you look at the brachos, Yitzchak blessed Yaakov twice. The first time Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, he thought he was Esav. So what's the bracha that he gives? Here's the bracha. This is in Perek Kav Zayin, Pasuk Kav Ches. V'itenuch Elokim Mital Hashem V'shmenei Haaretz. For all of the gan v'siros, Hashem will give you the dew of the heavens, etc. You'll have abundant grain and wine. V'yavducha Amim V'shtavcha Lumim. Everyone's going to bow down to you and serve you, etc. Arechuch Merecha Baruch. Nothing about the Birkas Avram. Nothing about Eretz Yisrael. That bracha, the first bracha which Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, when Yitzchak thought Yaakov was Esav, was a Gashmias bracha. Then later, before Yaakov runs away, he comes back, and Yitzchak gives him another bracha. Oh. And what bracha does Yitzchak give to Yaakov later? This is in Perek Kaf Ches, Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. V'kel shakai v'rechoscha, Hashem should bless you. V'tenecha es, birkas Avraham, l'lcha l'zaracha, osach itach, l'rishtach es eretz megarecha, etc. He gave him the birkas Avraham, the bracha of Eretz Yisrael. This is the ruchnius bracha. The bracha of Eretz Yisrael, the bracha of birkas Avraham. So the Malbim says as follows. The second bracha which Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, that was the plan to give him all along. Yitzchak knew Yaakov would get the Birkas Avram. Yitzchak knew Yaakov would be the leader of the Jewish people. But Yitzchak thought that Esav, although he wasn't such a tzaddik, he wasn't such a rasha. Yitzchak thought that Esav was, in a sense, good enough to be on the team with Yaakov. Yaakov would be the ruchnius, and Esav would be the gashmius. The Malbim says, like Yisachar and Zvulun, he says, like Levi and the rest of Am Yisrael, that Esav would have been the gashmius support, the money, the finances, the army. And that, so it's not that Yitzchak was totally fooled. Yitzchak, Esav could have become a partner, he could be the gashmius partner. But Rivka knew better. Rivka knew that Esav was such a rasha, that if Esav would have control of the army, if Esav would have control of the finances, he wouldn't use it to help Yaakov, he'd use it against him. And that's why Rivka orchestrated events that Yaakov, Yaakov would get both brachas, both of Ruchnius and Gashmius. Oh, very important shot of the Malbim. Then one more idea.